The second reading is from Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the communion, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Depart, unclean spirit, and make way for the Holy Spirit. There is an unclean spirit that must be addressed. It is the unclean spirit who was at work in the Jews whom St. Peter spoke to on Pentecost. Unclean spirit that led them violently against the author of life, Jesus of Nazareth, Lord and Christ, whom you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. It is the unclean spirit who wars against the Lord and giver of life, that Holy Spirit and Comforter, because the Holy Spirit is the very breath of God, which was breathed into Adam's dust and made man a living creature. But when an unclean spirit came along, breathing his lies into the ears of Eve and keeping Adam's mouth shut, well, then the breath of life, then the Holy Spirit departed. Satan made dead skeptics of God's living creations, you and me, with those words. Did God really say? And when the spirit, when the breath of life is taken away, and the sentence of death is the only thing that stands, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And that which is born of flesh is flesh. The sons of Adam, the daughters of Eve, gasp their first breath as they exit the womb, but they are breathing the same tainted air that you and I breathe every day. They are born as kicking, screaming, crawling, and walking dust. They are born not with a heart that fears and loves and trusts in the Lord of life's word above all things, but with a heart that doubts, and a heart that despises God. All mankind is conceived and born in this original sin. The origin of sin in Adam and Eve is likewise at work to be the origin of sin in you and in me also. Hopelessly turned in on ourselves above all things. We do not have the Holy Spirit, the Lord of life in us. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And so we are, as St. Paul says elsewhere, born dead in our trespasses and sins. And worse, we are indeed enemies of God. We are exactly like everyone still gathered there 50 days after that bloody Passover for the Jewish feast of Pentecost. Brothers and sisters, what shall we do? What can we do? The unclean spirit must be made to depart, and that won't happen by our reason or strength. No, the Holy Spirit himself must clear the way. He must call us by the gospel, enlighten us with his gifts, sanctify and then keep us in that true faith. God must perform this great miracle, that he must turn the hearts of his enemies back to him and save us from the headlong rush into death. Indeed, that is what the Lord has been at work doing, preparing and accomplishing for us. And on Pentecost, Peter gets up and proclaims that. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. It was no accident that lawless men crucified and killed Jesus. No, it was for our salvation that he died. And God vindicated his name. He raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death, this Lord and author of life. And now that his great and magnificent day has come, Peter reminds his hearers of an often forgotten Old Testament prophecy, Joel's words. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, says the Lord, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now certainly there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit uniquely on the apostles. They received the tongues of flame, they received the miraculous ability to preach and yet to be heard in every language at the same time. But they, the apostles, most certainly are not all flesh. They are the voice saying, as it were, depart, unclean spirit, and make way for this Holy Spirit. But did you hear it in the text? Did you hear the greatest miracle of Pentecost, where Joel's prophecy and Peter's sermon found their fulfillment? It was not in the mighty rushing wind that gathered the crowd. It was not in the tongues of fire on their heads. It was not in those miraculous languages. No, it was in the answer to that cry of everyone who is confronted with the reality of the unclean spirit already at work in all flesh. The cry, "What shall we do?" Then came Peter's answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off and near, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Quite literally, he is poured out with the water, with the word in the water of holy baptism. And that is the greatest miracle, you might say, of Pentecost. Holy baptism. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, overpowers the unclean spirit in the preaching of repentance, clearing him away, drowning him even. And then he rushes in with the life giving cleansing of baptism. He forgives sins. He takes away the unclean spirit's power over us to claim us. And he pours himself in to fill the void of the devil who is gone. The Lord and giver of life, he is called. He breathes into us. We are no longer walking corpses. We are living creatures again. New creations. And this promise is for you and for your children. It's for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The Lord has called you to himself in the word and in the water that washes away your sins in Jesus' name. And let no one fall into the traps of the unclean spirit again. Let no one say that infants, like, cannot be baptized because they are not old enough, or because they cannot think, or because they cannot choose something for themselves, or even that they cannot believe. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe. What shall or can I or we do?
No, the Holy Spirit must do it in every case, young or old. God must make the promise. And that's what baptism is, his promise. He must make a name for us, and that is what he gives. He must save and forgive and call. And so he does. As if Peter could not have been more explicit than this in today's reading. That this is for you and it is for your children. We also have our Lord's clear testimony that we hear at every baptism, whether it's the baptism of a young child or of an adult. When he says, "Let the little children come to me, do not hinder them." In fact, the adults must receive the kingdom just as a little child does if they wish to enter it. Our Lord indeed calls children and infants to himself. Do not let the lack of fire or the tongues or a mighty rushing wind deceive you. It is in every baptism, just as the apostle declares, that God pours out his Spirit on all flesh. He has driven the unclean spirit out of you. And he has given you a name to call upon, joining you to Christ Jesus, and therefore giving you access to our Father. And everyone who calls upon that name, given in baptism, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, everyone who calls upon that name will be saved. You are washed clean of the unclean spirit and of all sins in holy baptism, a promise to which the Holy Spirit will constantly, continually return you. Now that is a miracle. Every baptism that we see is a modern-day Pentecost. For when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Trustworthy for every one of you whom the Lord calls to himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.